Dave Robinson here for another episode of Bench Talk the Week in Science. Hey, I've got a question for you. Did you know that of young patients who visit the hospital for asthma here in Louisville, 62% are black children? And of all the hospitalizations of children with asthma in Louisville, most of them live in the western side of town. And did you know that folks who live in southwest Louisville are over 3 times more likely to contract cancer than someone living in East Louisville? Well, it's true. And since 61% of the people who live in these southwest Louisville neighborhoods identify as either black, indigenous, or people of color, it's really an issue of racial justice. Now, the people I know who live in the most polluted parts of Louisville seem to be pretty aware of how bad the air pollution is because they can literally smell it. All you have to do is breathe the air. But that's not all it takes. There was a meta-analysis published in 2017 that reviewed 21 different research papers published all around the world about how closely people follow governmental warnings about air pollution. This analysis showed that, depending on the location, only 10 to 57% of people knew about or actually adhere to the recommendations of public health air quality warning systems. So even in the very best situation, only 57% of the public actually keeps track of their air quality and acts upon that information. And while we're on this subject, I can tell you that Louisville does have a system for keeping us aware of our air quality. There's even an app for your cell phone that will tell you the air quality index for any city in the United States. Just get the app called EPA Air Now. EPA Air Now. And you can find out how much ozone and particulate matter is in the air at any time point during the day or night. The app is totally free. We did a show on this last summer. Actually, it was July 17th, 2023, when Louisville was just being inundated with smoke from the hundreds of forest fires up north in Canada. I did the show because I was very concerned that even on so-called red alert days, which is considered unhealthy for the general population, people were still outdoors, jogging on busy streets, bicycling, children who are especially vulnerable to breathing problems were still outside playing, everybody breathing in all that pollution. And that smoke from Canadian forest fires was really dangerous. Just go back to July 17th, 2023. Check out our podcast on that. Or just do a internet search for the term Bench Talk the Week in Science, Canadian smoke. Canadian smoke. You'll see it. Well, this research paper I'm discussing here shows that even when people know air pollution is a problem, and when they know that there are ways to assess the quality of the air they're breathing, anywhere from 90 to 43% of them will not keep themselves and their families apprised of the problem or act to protect themselves or their family. These authors ended up concluding that the 3 things the public most needs to address this problem are 1. Education, like where the local air quality index data is kept, and awareness of how severe the air pollution problem is, and the number of health messages and alerts that the public receives from city or county or state health departments, and a need to prepare local healthcare professionals in interpreting air quality index data. That's the first thing that needs to happen, education. The second thing that needs to change is a shift in public perceptions and attitudes, like people's awareness of their susceptibility to pollution, as well as the problem of people feeling that taking precautions is futile or pointless. Another issue here is an over-reliance on sensory cues, like smell, because that attitude is, if the air doesn't smell bad that day, it must be safe. But that's not the case. Some air pollutants don't have a smell. So that's recommendation number two. Change the public's attitudes. And the third thing that this paper thinks needs to change for the public to be able to protect themselves from pollution better was time. The time for them to study the situation and the time for them to take precautions to protect themselves and their family. Well, I wanted you to know that just about a month ago, a new website was launched here in Louisville with a goal of overcoming some of these problems. This website is trying to inform Louisvillians about environmental health equity in our city. You can visit the website yourself now by going to airjusticelou.org. Airjustice and then LOU.org. This website is a great resource for anyone who's interested in air pollution in Louisville and how it's impacting individual neighborhoods. This website is the result of a collaboration between the University of Louisville, Humana, the Humana Foundation, the Gaines Foundation, the U of L Environmental Health Literacy Coalition, and the U of L Health Equity Innovation Hub. That's a lot of organizations, but they put a lot of work into this website. Now, that U of L Health Equity Innovation Hub is an integrated, multidisciplinary, private-public collaboration that, according to a U of L press release, is focusing on, quote, groundbreaking research, talent development, entrepreneurship, and innovation with a deliberate focus on health equity, social determinants of health, and digital health and analytics, unquote. Well, this would be as good a time as any to tell you about Rubbertown. Rubbertown is an industrial area on the west side of Louisville, right along the Ohio River, south of Chickasaw Park, between Southwest Parkway and Algonquin Parkway, and Campground Road. If you're driving the Waterson Freeway, that's I-264 West, you can see Rubbertown on one side when you're around exits 3 or 5. And very likely, there'll be a very strong odor when you're driving around that area. Rubbertown is home to 7 storage facilities for gasoline for companies like Chevron, Valero, and Citgo. And then there's at least 11 other industrial facilities for making rubber, plastics, resins, and aluminum. Some of the names of the companies in Rubbertown are Carbide Industries, Zeon Chemical, Lubrizol, Roman Haas, Bakelite, and the American Synthetic Rubber Company, which gave the original name of Rubbertown to the area. Also, Louisville's main sewage treatment plant is located right smack on the edge of Rubbertown. Now, people do live in or near Rubbertown. There are residential neighborhoods just a few blocks from this major industrial area. And I watched one video on the airjusticelou.org website that talked about how in 2021, the people who lived near Rubbertown were receiving leaflets at their homes that outlined the hazards of the air pollution that was coming out of Rubbertown. But the problem was that the notices were written in very complicated and technical language, and they contained a lot of jargon that not even a college graduate would have necessarily understood. The notices were not designed for the general public to fully understand. And this gets to one of the primary goals of this new initiative, airjusticelou.org. It's to provide an easily accessible website written in language that could be understood by almost anyone, and it's written for people from a wide variety of socioeconomic and educational backgrounds. Building this website was a collaborative effort between a large number of University of Louisville students, as well as U of L professors, community leaders, and environmental activists. Some of the more prominent figures in this collaboration are Dr. Megan Poole, a U of L English professor, Professor Shivani Carthens, a U of L law professor, Keisha Dorsey, formerly on the Louisville Metro Council for District 3, which is an area bordering Rubbertown, but who's now Deputy Chief of Staff to Louisville Mayor Craig Greenberg, and Ebony Cochran of the grassroots activist group called Rubbertown Emergency Action, REACT. One of the first steps back in 2021 to building the airjusticelou.org website was to gather information from the affected neighbors themselves. They surveyed almost 2,000 people who live near the Rubbertown area and held workshops with residents to determine their informational needs and concerns. And the airjusticelou.org website finally debuted on March 28, 2024. According to Dr. Megan Poole, a U of L English professor, quote, "The Air Justice team considers air quality an environmental health equity issue, one that has a lot to do with literacy or with how information about air quality is distributed in the city. The Air Justice website decodes the science and health effects of air pollution, uncovers the history of environmental injustice in West Louisville, amplifies residents' stories related to air pollution, and directs residents to resources for reporting odors and pushing for increased air quality regulation," unquote. This group tries to define some of the problems Louisville is having, like the nearly 2.5 million pounds of chemicals that are released into the air in Jefferson County every year. But the distribution of this air pollution is not equal. It's worst in the west and southwest parts of Louisville because of its proximity to Rubbertown. So we're talking neighborhoods like Shawnee, Shively, Chickasaw, and Park Duval. These areas are known as sacrifice zones. Now, sacrifice zones are often defined as populated areas with high levels of pollution and other environmental hazards due to toxic or polluting industrial facilities like in Rubbertown. According to the Climate Reality Project, these areas are called sacrifice zones because the health and safety of people in these communities is being effectively sacrificed for the economic gains and prosperity of others. Proper government regulation of the industries in sacrifice zones tend to be lower than expected because either the people who live there don't know what is truly happening to them, or they lack the power to make lawmakers do something about it. And it's generally thought that this is because of discrimination based on race and or income. Sacrifice zones, like in West Louisville, become that due to environmental racism. And environmental racism is defined as, quote, "systems and processes that result in minority and low-income communities facing disproportionate environmental harms and limited environmental benefits," unquote. To quote the Air Justice website itself, quote, "Ignoring these concerns from community members does two things. One, it reinforces a systemic problem in how this city historically marginalized its communities of color, and two, it turns eyes away from the irreversible damage we are doing to our planet. Air Justice believes it is long past time for Louisville to begin making right these historic wrongs and to stop overlooking the harm these facilities are causing," unquote. Well, what are these air pollutants we're talking about? Air Justice describes three basic categories of air pollutant. There's particulate matter, which is a mixture of tiny solid particles and liquid droplets that are suspended in the air. Factories can generate particulate matter from their smokestacks, but there's also car exhaust, dust from construction sites, farms, and other unpaved ground. There's pollen and smoke from fires. Particulates are often so small that they can be inhaled, entering our lungs, and from there our bloodstream. And that can be very dangerous. Then there's the category of hazardous air pollutants, which are toxic air pollutants like asbestos, toluene, dioxin, cadmium, lead, mercury, and benzene, which is in gasoline. The hazardous air pollutants can cause serious health effects like cancer or birth defects. And then there are the volatile organic compounds, VOCs, which are chemicals that are used and produced in the manufacture of paints, pharmaceuticals, and refrigerants. Volatile organic compounds are essentially emitted as gases and are typically industrial solvents such as ethanol, butane, or trichloroethylene, or they could be fuel oxygenates such as methyl tert-butyl ether, known as MTBE, or they could be byproducts of city water chlorination, such as chloroform. Volatile organic compounds can be components of petroleum fuels, hydraulic fluids, paint thinners, pesticides, and dry cleaning agents. And these compounds can often find their way into our groundwater and soil, too. So it's particulate matter, or hazardous air pollutants, or volatile organic compounds that are the chemicals that are of most concern. Turns out Louisville has at least 15 air monitoring stations in the city to measure the amounts of these chemicals in our air. One of the things I particularly like about the Air Justice Louisville website is its bibliography. Even though superficially the website seems designed for those with rudimentary interests, you can click on the buttons labeled Learn More, and that'll take you to a list of trusted references produced both at the national level, like EPA documents, and at the local level, like reports and studies produced by city agencies, university studies, and activist groups. These resources allow the reader to go really deep into the data if that's what they want to do. The Air Justice website lists the top three human health problems associated with air pollution here in Louisville. First, there's heart disease. Apparently, every year, from 148 to 276 people out of 100,000 with heart disease in West and Southern Louisville have died from heart disease, whereas in East Louisville, the rate is 101 to 113 deaths out of 100,000 with heart disease. If you calculate the midpoint of these two ranges, it means that while 212 people per 100,000 in West and South Louisville are finally succumbing to heart disease every year, that number is only 107 per 100,000 on the east side. 212 versus 107. That's a big difference. Basically double. Then there's cancer. Every year, 205 to 270 people out of 100,000 with cancer in West and South Louisville die from their disease. In East Louisville, however, the rate is much lower, 137 to 156 people out of 100,000 with cancer are dying from it. Again, if you calculate the midpoint of these two ranges, it's 238 versus 147 per 100,000 cancer patients dying. 238 versus 147, that's 62% more fatalities on the south and west sides of town from cancer compared to the east side. Now, of course, there's a lot of factors affecting how populations might experience these two health problems, heart disease and cancer. Age, income, smoking, diet, education, access to quality health care, physical activity, body weight, emotional stress, alcohol consumption, and sun exposure can all affect our likelihood of dying from cancer or heart disease. But exposure to pollution undoubtedly plays a role too. Out of curiosity, I went to the EPA website for data about chemical releases to the air from Rubbertown in 2022, and I focused on the dirtiest zip code of all, 40211. That's people living in the west end of Louisville. According to the EPA data, more than 16,000 pounds of ethyl acrylate was released into the air inside the zip code of 40211 in 2022. Now, ethyl acrylate is used in the production of polymers, including resins, plastics, and rubber, and it's listed as a known carcinogen. So I would put this chemical into that category of hazardous air pollutant. There are about 22,000 people who live in the 40211 zip code, potentially breathing this 16,000 pounds of ethyl acrylate that was released in 2022. How dangerous is ethyl acrylate? Well, in the past, there was evidence that this chemical could cause colorectal cancer, but later studies threw doubt on that. But there's a 2018 paper indicating an increase in thyroid cancer in mice and rats when they inhaled ethyl acrylate. And believe it or not, according to a WFPL article, private companies are allowed to release chemicals to the air that increase the risk of cancer as long as the risk does not exceed a chance of 7.5 cases per million people. In other words, if 1 million people were exposed to that concentration of chemical continuously for 70 years, it would be acceptable if no more than 7.5 people would be likely to develop cancer from that exposure. By my calculations, since there are 22,000 residents in the 40211 zip code, there would only be an increase of 0.165 more persons getting cancer if exposed for 70 years. But don't forget, companies might be releasing more than that amount into the air, and that's just one company. There are something like 19 different industrial plants in the Rubbertown district, so there'll be a cumulative effect too. So each company is legally allowed to increase the cancer risk for the area by as much as 7.5 in a million. And with the population of Louisville Metro being about 1,300,000 people, that means that exposure to this concentration continuously for 70 years would result in almost 10 people developing cancer from that exposure legally. But again, that's just for one company. And we're assuming that the chemicals that are released to these 1 million people are being distributed throughout the population equally. But that's not really the case here. People living in the 40211 zip code, for instance, are experiencing much larger exposures, while folks living on the east side of town might be practically having no exposure at all. So these 7.5 people per million who are legally allowed to contract cancer, they might not be distributed equally throughout the city. They're going to be concentrated in the most polluted areas, meaning those numbers can be higher on the west side. And the third most common health problem due to air pollution in Louisville is asthma. Of young patients who visit the hospital for asthma in Louisville, 62% are black children. And out of all the hospitalizations for asthma in children across Louisville, apparently, most of the children live in the zip codes that surround Rubbertown. Now, one of the most fascinating sections in the Air Justice Louisville website is the What Am I Smelling section. If you've ever driven by the Rubbertown plants, you can smell it. Get out and walk around a bit, and it's even worse. Well, apparently, if it smells pleasant, then it could be 1,3-butadiene, or benzene, or styrene. But if it smells like rubber, then it could be 1,3-butadiene. If it smells sweet, then it could be acetone, benzene, carbon tetrachloride, chloroform, chloromethane, methylene chloride, methyl ethyl ketone, styrene, or vinyl chloride. If it smells sour or burnt, it could be toluene. If it smells like acetone, then it could be methyl ethyl ketone. And if it smells like gasoline, then it could be toluene. Or it could be because there's so many gasoline storage tanks there. Then, of course, there's the Morris Forman Sewage Treatment Plant, the largest sewage treatment plant in the entire state of Kentucky. The smells produced by sewage have been described as like burnt greens or rotten eggs, and these kind of odors indicate the presence of hydrogen sulfide, which is a flammable, colorless gas that naturally occurs in sewage. Unfortunately, we're running out of time today. We'll just have to try to continue this story on our next episode. We'll tell you more about why the sewage smells are particularly bad on the west side. We'll discuss more details about the specific chemicals that are being emitted from Rubbertown and which companies the Air Justice folks think are the biggest pollution offenders. But in the meantime, check it out yourself. Just go to airjusticelou.org.
If you visit American City, you will find it very pretty. Just two things of which you must beware. Don't drink the water and don't breathe the air. Pollution, pollution, we got smog and sewage and mud. Turn on your tap and get hot and cold running crud. The halibuts and the sturgeons being wiped out by detergents. Fish gotta swim and birds gotta fly, but they don't last long if they try. Pollution, pollution, you can use the latest toothpaste and then rinse your mouth with industrial waste. Just go out for a breath of air and you'll be ready for Medicare. The city streets are really quite a thrill. If those don't get you, the monoxide will. Pollution, pollution, wear a gas mask and a veil. Then you can breathe long as you don't inhale. Lots of things there that you can drink, but stay away from the kitchen sink. Throw out your breakfast garbage, and I've got a hunch that the folks downstream will drink it for lunch. So go to the city, see the people there, like lambs to the slaughter. They're drinking the water and breathing the air.
This is Dave Robinson for Bench Talk the Week in Science, signing off. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.